Thanks for joining us for another inspiring message from Pastor Derek Dunn, lead pastor of City Harvest Church, Orange County. To find out more about City Harvest or Pastor Derek, please visit chcus.org or derekdunn.org. You can also follow us on your favorite social media platform at chcus and Derek Dunn OC.
So we've been learning that the message of Jesus is not something we should keep to ourselves. What is the gospel about? We've learned two things. It's about come and see, and it's about go and tell. That we come in and we encounter God. We come and experience the goodness of God, and we got to go tell somebody. Amen? Tell your neighbor, say, you got to tell somebody. Don't keep it to yourself. Don't be a selfish Christian. Well, I just love Jesus. It's just me and Jesus. That's not the Bible. You know, some Christians, well, I got no problem with Jesus. It's just people. I love God, but it's people I have a hard time with. That is not scriptural. Because, come on, if you love God, you're going to love people. Amen? Now, how do we witness? We've learned witnessing is very simple. It's basically a few things. It's number one, sharing your story. We all have a story to tell. Share your story of who God is to you, of what life was like before you met Jesus and what life is like now after encountering him. Amen? And then what? Focus on the mission. What's the mission? The Great Commission, that we go and we begin to share our story with others, preach the gospel, and then what? Invite people to come and get planted, invite people to church so that they can begin to grow and be discipled. Jesus said to teach them the ways of God. Are you here? Amen? And then thirdly, what? We're praying, we're inviting them to encounter Jesus, and we're what? Bringing them to introduce them to the church family. And so it's very simple. We don't need to complicate it. That's what the early church did. They didn't have the Bible for almost 400 years of the early church. What did they do? They came and prayed, they came and worshiped, they got an encounter with God, and they went out and told everybody about the Savior who is living. Amen? Christmas is not about Santa Claus. Come on, it's about Jesus Christ. Amen? Nothing wrong with Santa Claus. He was a good saint, Saint Nick. But come on, where did the saint come from? It came from someone who encountered Jesus. And because God is a giver, he wanted to give to other people. So let's remember, Jesus is the reason for this Christmas season. We got to tell somebody. Now let's be witnesses. Again, we learned last week, not just by how we talk, but by our lifestyle. That our lifestyle should be attractive to people. And when they see us, they're attracted to us. They're attracted to the joy. They're attracted to God on the inside of us. Amen? And this morning, I want to take it as we go a little bit further. I want to talk to you this morning about vision. Someone say vision. Vision. It's important for us to have a vision for the lost. And I made this statement. It's a powerful statement. If you don't have a burden for the lost, you will never have a vision for your church. Say, if I don't have a burden for the lost, I'll never have a burden for the church. What's the purpose of the church? The church is a place where people can come and get planted, where we can get trained. I preached, you know, about 2 years ago, a great message, you can probably find it on YouTube, about the locker field and the playing field. And this is the locker room. Where we come together and what? We get trained, we get equipped, we get empowered, we get a greater level of freedom in us. We learn how to praise, we learn how to worship. And then what do? We carry the presence of God out there to a dying world. In the Bible, more miracles, more people got saved outside of the church than they did in the church. And come on, I'm believing for the days of the book of Acts to come again, amen? Come on, the book of Acts still being written through us. It's the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And so we need to have a vision. Can you see the vision? What's the vision? It's the impact on our community. Can you see the vision? Why are we here in Aliso Viejo? Because God wants us to impact our community. Why are we here in Orange County? There's a lot of cheaper places to live. You know, you can move to Temecula. It's a lot cheaper. You can move to Tennessee. It's a lot cheaper. But why are we here? Because God called us to impact our community. Amen. Well, it's expensive. Well, God will provide for us because we have a mission. We have a vision, and vision brings provision. Amen? Amen. Proverbs 29, verse 19 says, where there's no vision, the people perish. We've got to have a vision. Where there's no vision and the church doesn't have vision, our community perishes. What's the problem with the world we live today? Is the church lost the vision of the Great Commission, And they stopped impacting their world. They stopped going into government. They stopped going into the schools. They stopped going into arts and entertainment and media. They stopped going into business and all those things and came out and believed the wrong theology that we're not supposed to be connecting the world. But that's not in the Bible. Jesus told us to go, not come. Amen? What's the mission? It's not get saved and come and just worship God all the time, read your Bible, prophesy over each other, and play for each other until you roll on the floor, until you get burns. Amen? Rug burns. That's not the church, but some Christians, that's what I need an encounter. And kind of, what have you been doing with the last 10 encounters? Some of you are, well, I just feel I'm not having any encounter. Because God ain't giving you any more until you do something with what you got. Yeah. I don't need another prophet. People running for prophecies, prophetic. Well, I want the prophetic. What have you been doing with those last 10 prophecies? Are you here? We need to be hearers and doers with what we're doing. And when we do it, we can cry out, we want more. And God will give us more because we're being faithful with what we have. Come on, leave that, give the Lord a shout. Amen? Yeah. So where there's no vision, people perish. Where the church doesn't have a vision of reaching the community, the church does no good and has no impact in the community. Yeah. It's amazing. You know, I meet people and, you know, it bothers me sometimes, but I meet people and I say, how did you come to church? Did you drive by and see our sign? I mean, we have a nice sign outside. We put one at the street, you know, and did you see? Oh, no, I didn't know, even know there was a church here. I Googled you. And thank God for Google. But guess what? Just having a building here in an industrial park has no impact. They're just happy we're a church because all the people working here Monday through Friday have more parking. Because primarily we're here on the weekends. Are you here? Amen? But there's no impact. But what's the impact? As we come in, as we're getting empowered, we go back into our schools. We go back to our workplace. We go back to our families. When we go to a restaurant, we go to Costco or we go to Walmart or wherever it is that we shop. Come on, we're carrying the life of God. We're carrying what God has given to us, and we're believing God to touch people. When we see someone who's sick, can I pray for you and believe God to heal people? When you see someone and you're believing God, step out in faith and believe God for a word. Where they can encounter God, and God gives you a vision and or gives you a verse or scripture or a picture, and you tell them, you know, is it okay I share with you? I'm a Christian, and I believe God speaks to people, and they kind of look at you like you're crazy. But is it okay I just tell you what I'm feeling God saying? And you read their mail, and they look like, I never met you. How could you know that? And you say, the only way I know that is because God is telling me, and he's real, and he loves you, and he wants you to know that he knows your name, and he's concerned about you. Come on. You should get excited about that. Come on, let's not just have activation in the church. We need to get activated in the church and practice so we can do it out there. That's the mission that we have. But if we don't have a vision, the city will perish. If we don't have a vision for government, our government will perish. We don't have a vision for our schools. We don't have a vision for media and all this. And, you know, we're not going to have the impact. So how do we begin to deal with vision? When we have vision, we need to understand something. There's a tension that's in vision. Vision causes attention, and tension is not a negative thing. Sometimes we talk about tension. Oh, I got tension in my neck, and that's not a good thing. But you know, there's tension on the guitar strings that cause everyone to sound beautiful today. Because of the tension, you can play the chord, and it sounds correctly. If there's not enough tension, what happened? It's out of pitch. It doesn't operate the way it wants to. So God has created a tension, a vision. Wherever there's vision, there's tension. What's the tension? The tension, I wrote this down, is between the time of inception and the realization of the vision. From the time we receive a vision until the time it manifests, there's a tension. Are you here? You can see it, but you don't have it yet. I don't know about you, but I want it, and I want it now. Anyone else like that? That's why we have patience. It's the fruit of the Spirit. But I can see it. I can feel it. I can almost touch it, but it's not there yet. And there's a tension that's there. You can believe it, but you don't see it yet. You want it, but you don't have it yet. That's the tension between seeing something, come on, and beginning to receive it. But that's why we walk by faith, because we walk by faith and not by what we see in the natural. not by what we feel in the natural, but by what we know God has said. And we know that the vision, even though it doesn't happen immediately, there's an appointed time, the vision will come to pass if we don't give up and we keep working on it. Come on. And we keep going for it. We keep believing it'll come to pass. So how do we process the tension of vision? How do we accomplish vision? We need to understand five things about vision. And I'm going to share those with you very quickly this morning. Number one, we got to understand that vision follows a burden. Why is it people don't have a vision for their city? Because they don't have the burden of the Lord. Are you here? Most of us, we're selfish by nature. I got no amens on that. Left to our own devices without Jesus, come on, we like comfort and pleasure. It's about me. We worship the unholy Trinity, me, myself, and I. Are you here? Yeah. We don't like sacrifice. We don't like hard work over long term. We want it. We want it now. Don't tell me what I have to do for work. Tell me how much I'm going to get paid. Tell me my benefits. Oh, come on. Are you here? Amen. Yeah. That's why we need Jesus, because when we come to Jesus, it's not about us. It's about him. And when we come to Jesus, it's not just about him, it's about those around us. As we do unto others, he'll make sure it comes back to us. Amen? Amen. And so in Nehemiah, we see Nehemiah, and he had a burden for his city. He had a burden for Jerusalem. He had a burden for the walls that had been torn down. He had a burden for the reproach that had come upon his people. And the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4, it says, so it was, and hear his heart here. When I heard these words, I sat down and I wept. I mourned for many days. I was fasting and I was praying before the God of heaven. And I said, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those that you love and you observe your commandments, please let your ear be attentive. Let your eyes be open that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel, your servants. And I confess the sins of your children of Israel, which we've sinned against you. Both my father's house and I have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, or the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses. Do you hear the cry, the burden? Let me ask you, where's your burden for your city? Where's your burden for your loss? Where's your burden for the school system and where things are happening? This week, Pastor Susan, you know, talked to me about, she spoke to someone and they were saying that in the school that kids show up drunk. That in the school there's fighting. Kids are stabbing each other. All these things are happening. And I'm not talking about in Compton. Right here in Orange County. Right here around us. I don't know about you, when I hear that, I get a burden. Thank God my kids, you know, are in a good school. But what's happening to our system where kids are being indoctrinated and confused in their sexuality in preschool? Yeah. Does that not burden you? There's the agenda and the things that are going. When we see the corruption in government, we see all the news that's coming out. Because guess what? The truth will always come out sometime. But some people don't even care about the truth. I don't know, that puts a burden. When you walk by and you see the homeless people, and many of them are veterans who served our nation and went to war and came back with PTSD and cannot function, and they're just living on the streets because they can't handle stress and they can't keep a job. God loves these people. But we walk by them, we're on our way to church, we're just praying for our breakthrough and our financial breakthrough and the next thing we're believing God for. And God's not against all those things, but what are we living for? Where's our burden for the lost? We can go, and many of us, we've been talking about witnessing for 5 weeks. Have you even talked to anyone yet? Where's your burden? Well, I got relatives coming in. So what? I do too. My dad's coming in next week. I'm still in church. I'm still sharing. I'm still preaching. The harvest is plentiful. But what's the issue? It's the heart. Do we have a burden? Jerusalem was burned down. The walls were destroyed. It was in reproach. I've got a burden for the church. I can live an easy life. I don't get any money from preaching to you. I get nothing for what I do. I do it for a burden from the Lord, and God takes care of us. But I can have an easy life. I can just show up on Sunday and preach a message and be out Monday through Saturday preaching all around the world and doing pretty well. But how do we live our life? Because there's a burden. Can we have an easier life? Of course we can. But if we're just living for our comfort, friends, we're missing it. What will be written on our tombstone? Did we make a difference? David served God in his generation. Nehemiah looked at the reproach that was on the people of God, and day and night he began to pray. Come on, are you praying for revival, or is it just a song you sing every 3 weeks when it's in the song sequence? Do you wake up in the morning burdened for your city, burdened for your nation? I'm burdened for my grandchildren. They might not be alive yet, but what about my grandchildren? What about my grandchildren's grandchildren? Look at where the world is going with the perversion and the corruption and all those things that are there. Are we burdened? This week I met a Muslim man in my real estate office, and he moved from Northern California, and he came, and I said, why did you move here? He had a whole business up there. He left his whole business, and he's starting over, and I'm like, why would you do that? The guy's in his late 40s. I'm like, well, what did you move here for? He said, I had to get my family out of there. He said, they were going to have this sex education class for my kids, and my kids are in elementary school. And I said, and I asked them, I want to know the curriculum. They said, oh, we can't give you the curriculum. They said, what do you mean you can't give me the curriculum? I want to see the curriculum. So he wrote in and wrote and finally said, we'll show you the curriculum, but only the day before the class. He said, absolutely not. I wanted a week before. And he got the curriculum, and it was absolute nonsense. So he took his kids out of school that day. Amen. And took them and had his own sex education class. This is not even a Christian. He's of another faith. He's Persian. Doesn't believe in Jesus. But he's provoked. He had a burden. He said, I don't want this stuff going to my kids. And I'm thinking of my grandkids and what's happening to our country. What's happening to our nation? I'm like, this guy needs to get saved. Because let me tell you, he's going to be more on fire than most Christians that already are saved. Yeah, yeah. But he had a burden. And when they talk, I said, we're going to be good friends. Because I said, I share the same burden. And he wasn't critical, but he was burdened for his family. He's burdened for what's happening. He said, I grew up in this city. I've lived here for 30 years. I love the city, but the way things that are heading, I just can't do this anymore. I'm inviting him for Christmas. Where's our burden? Sometimes the people that don't have Jesus are more burdened than we do. Thank God for all these social enterprise groups and people like that. But come on, if we've got Jesus on the inside, we should share his burden. What moves God moves us. What God loves, we love. What God hates, we hate. That's why we're his disciples. He had a burden from the Lord. He was just a cupbearer. And King Artaxerxes' palace, he was a slave exiled to Babylon. His city's in ruins. It's a forgotten. His people are in slavery. They're in bondage. But he had a heart to rebuild and to call people back. Yeah. Come on, that's what we're called to do. Call people back into a relationship with Jesus. They don't know they're lost, but they're lost. Where is our burden from the Lord? When you have a burden, you can't stay still. You got to do something. Well, I wish I had more money. Well, what can you do with what you have? Yeah. Well, I don't have enough money. I can't really help. I can't solve those problems. Can you pray? Yeah. Come on. Can you go stand out in front of a Trader Joe's for 2 hours? What can we do? Can you get a present for our angel tree and help a kid? Yeah. There's little things that we can do. Yeah. He had to move because he was weeping for the state of things. Do you have a burden for the lost? Let me ask you, where's your burden for the lost? Where's your burden for building God's house? Where's your burden for taking back our country and our nation? Returning to the values and the foundation. Thank God we still have the freedoms, but they're under assault, friends. in places in the world, communism is taking over. Countries that are free are now communist. I was talking to this lady from Brazil. She said they're fighting for their country right now. Everyone else has gone to communism. Freedoms of religions have been taken away. And we can't allow this. But it has happened subtly. Are you here? God wants us to reach out to lost people because Jesus loves people. And how will they know unless we tell them? We've got to get our burden from the Lord. Vision flows from burden. If you don't have a burden, you will never have a vision. And this morning, I pray you hear the urgency in Nehemiah's heart, the urgency in my heart. Not be worried that God's going to shortchange our family or shortchange us if we take up his vision. He said, if we seek first the kingdom of heaven, come on, all the things we have need of will be added to us. If we build his house, come on, he will build our house. Come on, believe that, give the Lord a shout. Number two, second key to vision, we need to understand that we have to pray big ask prayers. Pray big ask prayers. What are you praying? Are your prayers too small? I was praying, so I pray, God, bring in thousands of dollars, and I feel in my heart that's too small. Start praying, God, bring in tens of thousands, and now I'm praying for millions. You love the prophets, you know, they come in and kind of prophesy and give you a lot of work to do and then leave town. We had Cindy Jacobs prophesy, and she's like, God's going to give you media ministry and give you the best of the best. You're going to have all the best of the high definition, then best. And I'm thinking, every time I hear a best, I'm thinking dollars. Because the best ain't cheap. Then we had the prophet come during the women's meeting. She says, I see studios. And I'm thinking $50 million. Holy smokes, Jesus. Think about it. Some of you just got real nervous. You should get excited because guess where it's going to come from? Jesus, bring the tithes into the house of God. There'll be food in my house and God will take care of it. But how's it going to come from? Through his people? It ain't coming from the government. Stop waiting on the government checks. Yeah. Amen. Amen. I'm not even going to go there, but Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 8, it says, and it came to pass in the month of Nisan, the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, that I took the wine and gave it to the king. And now I had never been sad in his presence before. Therefore the king said to me, why is your face sad and why are you sick? This is nothing but sorrow of heart. And I became dreadfully afraid. Here's Nehemiah. He comes, his burden is so great that now it's seeping out of him. Yeah. And I mean, it's not saying he's having a bad day and a bad attitude. This was something he was so passionate about, he couldn't hide it anymore. And he comes before the king, and you can't be sad in front of the king. Yeah. You got to put on your right countenance. You got to wash. This is the king. You could be killed off with his head, you know, because he had the right posture. So he was afraid and he spoke out to the king and he said, may the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tomb lies in waste and its gates are burned with fire? And the king said to him, what are you requesting? What do you request? So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said to the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I might rebuild it. And the king said to me, and the queen also sitting beside him, how long will your journey be, and when will you return? And so it pleased the king to send me. And I set him a time. God will put us before people that have supernatural favor that can open doors for the kingdom. Amen. He found favor in the sight of the king. He was just a slave who's drinking the cup to make sure it's not poisoned. He wasn't a high flyer in the palace, but he had favor. So the king said he could go. And then he said, verse 7, furthermore, I said to the king, if it please the king, let letters be given to me for the governors of the region beyond the river, that they must permit me to pass through till I come to Judah, and a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he'd give me timber to make my beams for the gates and citadels which pertains to the temple, for the city wall, for the house that I occupy. And the king granted to me according to the good hand of my God upon me. What favor he had. Not only did he get his leave, but the king's going to pay for it. The king's going to give him the letters so he has favor with everyone. The king's going to give him the wood. Come on. God is looking for someone who has a vision that he can bring the provision, that if we have a burden, it's not up to us how God does it. We just have to get out there and position ourselves, and the favor of God will come upon us to make it happen. But we got to ask big. What if he had asked, just give me some time off and stop there? But he asked big. Are you here? He asked the king to let him leave. He asked for safe passage. He asked for the materials to carry out the task. Come on, don't let your prayers be small. Ask God for big prayers. What did he say? Ask of me and I'll give you the nations. I'm praying for our nation. I'm praying for the nations. Don't just pray for your family, you, your children, and your dog. There's a whole world out there that we need to be praying for and burdened for. God gives us a vision, and where God gives us a vision, there's God-given provision. James 4, verse 2, in the last part of the verse, it says, you have not because you ask not. Come on, let's pray big prayers. Tell your neighbor, say, you need to pray big prayers. Get a burden, and when you get a burden from God, ask God. Pray big, ask prayers. Amen? Number three, you learning something? You need to understand this, that you are the provision for the vision. Don't pray, here I am, God, raise up people. Here I am, God, send Frank. Here I am, God, send Daniel. Send Marvin. No, he prays, here I am, God, send me. Send me. God wants to use you. If God can use a cupbearer, come on, God can use us. In Nehemiah 2 and verse 17, Nehemiah says, I said to them, see the distress we're in, how Jerusalem lies in waste and its gates are burned with fire. Come and let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer be a reproach. And I told them of the hand of God that was upon me and how God used me, and also the king's words that he'd spoken to me. And they said, the people said, let us rise up and build. And then they set their hands to do this work. Nehemiah began to tell his people of the favor that God was upon him. But how many of you know one man can't build a city? One man can't rebuild the walls. It's all of us together. And thank God, God calls a man and a woman. But God's not looking for a man or a woman. He's looking for a people. A people that will be willing and obedient in the day of opportunity. God called Pastor Susan and myself here, but it's not about us. We can't do it alone. God calls a people, and that's what you're, if you're part of this church, why? That's why you're here, because you're called to build. You're called because you have a burden for revival. You have a burden for reformation. You have a burden for change. If you just want to show up and have a nice message and we're 30 seconds from your house, this ain't the church for you. Well, Pastor, that's a bit mean. No, I love you. But it's dangerous to be in a church like this, because we preach you the word. We tell you. And guess what? The Bible says, to him who has knowledge, to him who's much been given, much is required. Yeah. To him who knows to do right and doesn't do it, it is sin. It's better off not knowing than you know. So when you get equipped and you've heard and you don't do it and you harden your heart, that's a bad place to be in. Well, you can hear the word over and over and over and over and not do it. Because whose word is it? It's his. It's written in red. Who do we have to answer to? To God. It's better to be out of the presence of God and not living right than around. Why? Because in the presence, there's conviction. And if we harden our heart, we can come to the place our heart is so hardened that there's no hope of return. The Bible talks about that. People say, oh, I don't want to be in that place. You're not in that place if you think that. You're in that place when you think you can't be there. Are you here? We have a calling. We have a mandate. We're not here to play church. We're here because we have a mandate. We left a move of God where we're seeing hundreds of people, 700-800 people every week. First time, first church converts getting saved. But God calls us back and says, begin to rebuild the walls in Orange County. Begin to redig the wells again. And God's going to raise up a people that are trained in the word and the spirit, that go forth in boldness and are willing to take back the things the devil has stolen from us. Come on, if you believe that, better say amen.
Amen.
There's a burden, but how is God going to do it? It's through us. Don't think you're insignificant. Nehemiah was insignificant. But come on, if God can use a small boy, Samuel, who knows nothing, who's not born of the right bloodline, and raise him up as a great prophet, come on, we got no excuses, amen? If God can take some fishermen that are uneducated and cause them to be the pioneers of one of the greatest moves of God, where 3,000 people, 5,000 people getting saved in a day, God can do it through us. And it's not through numbers. God can save through many, or he can save through few. God's raising up a remnant. Gideon had a big army, but they didn't have the right heart. They weren't trained. They didn't have the right attitude. So what happened? God dwindled the army down to 300 people. And they wrought the victory and won the battle. Come on, we don't need a mega church. And I'm not against numbers, because we want to be strong. We want to grow big, amen? Amen? There's power in numbers if the numbers are strong. But we got to have the quality. It's not about quantity. You can have a lot of quantity of people just sit around and do nothing and grumble and complain and stay in the wilderness. Are you here?
Yes.
Number four. Concerning vision, we need to understand this principle. In order to win, we got to be all in.
Amen.
Say, in order to win,
I got to be all in.
He said, be hot or cold. You're either for me or against me. There's no middle road.
Yes.
Well, that's a bit extreme. Don't get upset with me. I didn't write the Bible. You know, we like all this. We got to be accepting, and we create all this stuff. We create our seeker. There's a whole movement, the seeker-sensitive movement. And I believe in seeking and saving the lost. Boy, the whole secret, so we want to make people comfortable, but want them to be so comfortable where God's not comfortable.
Wow.
So God leaves the church, and now we just have our little club, and we're trying to do church, and God doesn't call it church. If God's not showing up, it's not church. If there's no conviction, it's not church. If the word of God's not being preached, it's not church. Come on. You can put a cross on anything. A lot of people wearing crosses, but they ain't Christians. Are you here? In order to win, we got to be all in. If you're not 100% for God, you're not saved yet. Get saved. Because if he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. I mean, who was Jesus? We paint this picture of Jesus that is not Christ. What did Jesus say? He said, hey, sell all that you have, follow me. I'm not ready. Later. You, it's time to leave your family and follow me and walk after me. Oh, I'm not ready. Can I wait till my family's all dead? Then I'll follow you. Later. He kept walking. He kept walking because he knew what it would take to follow him. But he comes to some fishermen and says, hey, I'll make you fisher of men. And that day, they left their fishing business because they came in contact with someone where the words that he spoke, the presence he carried, they were hungry for it, and they were willing to leave their business and follow this man. And they became world shakers and history makers. Come on, say, in order to win,
I gotta be all in.
And finally, number five, we need to understand something. Every miracle needs an obstacle. I don't like this part. I don't like obstacles. I don't like resistance. I wish, you know, the evangelist who said, come to Jesus and all your problems will go away and everything will be okay. They weren't really telling the whole truth. Because it doesn't mean you're not going to have any problems. What does it mean that Jesus is there in the midst of your problems? That what? Now you have a target on your back. It's called Christian. And the devil's out trying to kill, steal, and destroy. He wasn't messing you with before because you were already going to hell. And he lost you from his kingdom. But he knows the power that you have. The heaven's on the inside of you. And now you can begin to bring other people and plunder hell and begin to populate heaven. He knows the Great Commission more than most Christians. You're now a threat to him. And we don't need to be fearful than that, because greater is he who's in us, but we need to learn to fight.
Yes.
We need to learn the weapons of our warfare. We need to learn that he's defeated and you got no authority over me or my family. You go mess with somebody else. You don't get to mess with me. Come on, be on the offensive. Don't just be on the defensive. Amen? The devil's attacking me. Why is he even coming near you? He should be running from you. When Jesus walked in the church, the demons manifested. They ran away from him. When he walked down, they manifested. Why? Because they were scared. Every place that our feet shall tread, we got dominion. When you show up, people should be scared. When you walk in the room, Jesus walks in the room. I don't know why. Everyone just seems, uneasy. It's because of what you carry. It's the presence of God. It's light coming on in the room. And people look, who do you think you are? I'm humble, but I know who I am. It's not I that live. It's Christ that lives in me. And greater is he than me. And we're here to take over. Are you here? Well, that's not very nice. Read the Bible. Those that have turned the world upside down have come here too. That's what they said. Oh my gosh. And when Troy Marshall showed up, these guys turned the world upside down. They're here. Better watch out, devil. Demons flee. Dwayne and Amanda. Holy smokes, man. We tried to get them. We tried to take them out. But come on, now they're sold out for God, anointed, on fire, willing to do anything for Jesus. These guys turned the world upside down. They're showing up here too. And in the kingdom of dark, they recognize the anointing upon our lives. Used to bother me sometimes. Well, I like to be nice. Why? What did I do? Did I not wear the right cologne today? Or my hair out of place? So, but I realized it's what you carry. I don't have to say a word. I just walk in, hello, everyone. Boom. Because of what you carry. Because of light. And be friendly, be kind. We're not prayer out proud. We're not arrogant. But there's a battle going on. We're not fighting flesh and blood. Sometimes you meet people and, hello, how are all of you? Because they're full of demons. I'm joking, but you know, because you can see. And no, I walk in a room, I read the room. I know, oh, okay, we got Jezebel over here. We got this over here. Got over this over here. And there's spirits going on. We love the people, but there's spirit. There's a battle going on. But we have all authority. We have all power in heaven on earth. But we're living our life. And we're overcoming the obstacles. Nehemiah 4 verse 1, after all the favor, after all the wood, after all the people saying, let us arise and build, what happens? He goes in Nehemiah chapter 4, and he meets Sambalat. It says, so it happened when Sambalat heard that we were building the wall, that he was furious, that he was very indignant, and he mocked the Jews. There's resistance, to try to get us from obeying God and his vision. By obeying the mandate, are some people going to be happy? Yes, but some people are going to be angry. When Jesus spoke, they gnashed their teeth at him. Sometimes we get that reaction. Praise God. I think I forget the pastor's name, but he said this, one of the famous preachers, he said this, when you preach, you either make people angry or happy. It was what? Who was it? Mad, sad, or glad. What's happening? Is there a reaction? When you show up, there's no reaction. We're not doing something right. But when you preach, people get mad. They get sad because they need to change something. Yeah. Right. And they get glad when they change it. Yeah. What's the reaction? Are you here? Yeah. So we've got to realize there's obstacles. For some of us, 2020 was an obstacle. Mate, the church fought in 2020. They're trying to shut the church down. They're trying to take away the freedom of coming together. We stood up with 6,000 other churches in Orange County, California, and we said the church is essential. We signed a petition and sent it to the governor. We're not going to be crazy. We're not going to say that COVID's not real, but we follow all the CDC guidelines. We do everything Walmart's doing, everything Costco's doing, everything the grocery store's doing. So why can't we meet? And we started meeting, we had no problems. We did social distancing, we sanitized. We're still sanitizing your chairs. They're super clean when you come in here. Because it's healthy. But the church is essential. And because the church rose up, there were obstacles. There was one church that had millions of dollars in lawsuit. But they won. It went to the highest court in California. And now they cannot say the church is essential. They cannot ever shut down the church again. Come on. The miracle needs an obstacle. Some of us, even 21, 22, it's been difficult. I was talking to someone, a brother yesterday, and I hadn't spoke to him for a long time, more than a year. I said, hey, I was thinking about you. How are you doing? He said, oh, my business is going through some transition. I know what that means. There's obstacles that are there. But guess what? There's a miracle. I read an article that morning when I was home and I was just studying and reading and read an article where a lady got retrenched 4 times in the last year and a half. No, that's not exciting. But she talked about what she learned and now she's killing it. Because all those places were wrong fits for her. But now she's doing what she's passionate about and she's doing well. Are you here? When there's an obstacle, there's a miracle. If we can't give in the fluff, we can't give when it's tough. We can't give when there's an abundance. Are we going to trust God when things get tough? How do you know something's a conviction? Because no matter what, whether it's tough or not, you still do it. Are you here? When it's a preference, you only do it when it's easy to do it. You only talk about God when you're around Christians because you're preaching to the choir. You only give when you're in a place of abundance, but when you're struggling, do you still trust God? Are you here? When trials or persecution comes, the church moves forward. Because what's in us comes out. And who's in us? Jesus. Who's in us? The same power that raised Christ from the dead. Under that pressure, even though it doesn't feel good to our flesh, it's good for us. COVID was good for the church. It pruned off those that weren't really serious about God. And it brought about people that were really hungry for God. And the church has grown. The church has gotten better. We went deeper in the word. We went deeper into relationship with God and with one another. Amen? How do you respond when there's trials? How do you respond? What should we do? We've got to do two things. We've got to work and we've got to fight at the same time. When the pressure comes, don't stop obeying the vision. That's the distraction to get you to stop. When I get attacked in my finances, I give more. When people tell me you can't do something and that God wants me to do it, I'm going to do all the more I'm going to do it. Because that's how you overcome. Nehemiah 4 verse 17, it says this, those who built on the wall and those who carried burdens loaded themselves so that with one hand they worked. Someone say they worked.
It worked.
And it says with the other hand, they held a weapon. So you keep working on the vision. You keep building what God's called you to do. Keep preaching. Keep showing up every day at work. Keep knocking on the door. Keep asking. Keep pressing. Keep sharing. Keep praying. Keep working. And fight. What does it mean to fight? You stand in your authority. I'm not coming down from this wall. I'm not going to get distracted from what God's called me to do. And when the enemies come and they get close, you get rid of the enemy. You keep the devil off the wall. You keep the enemy off the wall. You got to work and you got to fight. We've got to learn how to pray. We got to keep being obedient to what God's calling you to do. That don't matter who shows up. It doesn't matter what we have in the bank account. It doesn't matter how many people are happy. Some people aren't happy. You know, people come and they say, oh, why don't we just change the church? Why don't we not be so intense? Why don't we not be talk about taking our city? Why don't we not pray in tongues in the service? Why don't we just do an hour service? Because that's not how we're called to live. Are you here? And we're open to input to make things better, but we're not here to just be another. If you want to, there's 50 churches like that in Orange County. They'll get you in and out in 45 minutes. Come on. One praise, one worship, a poem, 15-minute sermon, and you clicked your time clock and did great, but God never showed up. You never do anything for God, but you feel you're all right. But come on, I'm concerned because there's a day of reckoning. When I stand before God, I want to hear good and faithful servant.
Amen.
You were obedient to everything. You are not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Nothing else matters. Thank God for the blessing and the success and all the other things, but nothing else matters because that's going to determine my eternity. Are you here? We need to be a witness. Someone say, I got to
be a witness.
Get a vision that flows from the burden. Get a burden from the Lord. What is God calling to you? What group is God calling to you? Who are the people you're called to reach? Get a burden for your office. Get a burden for your school. Get a burden for your family. Begin to pray day and night. Pray. Ask God big prayers. So say big prayers. Realize it's not going to come through someone else. That you are the provision for the vision. And in order to win, what? You got to be all in. Don't be 80%. Don't be 60%. Don't be 90%. Come on, be 110%. Someone say all in.
All in.
We're in it to win it.
Amen.
We're not playing. People say, you want to play? Go home. We're not playing. We're dealing with eternity. And it, with that kind of posture, come on, in the midst of obstacles, look for the miracle. In the midst of your financial offer, look for your miracle. You know, we put out and we've raising money for our project for Christmas. We went out and we stepped out in faith, and the money hasn't come in. We only collected about $1,800 of the $5,000. So certain things we try to cut in our advertising and things, we're going out and doing other things. But you know, we still move forward. And guess what? One of my partners from overseas wrote a check for $7,000 and sent it to the church. Praise God for that, because God will do it. But guess what? Somebody in this house missed out on the blessing because someone overseas is sowing into Orange County when we're not sowing into our own city. You say, well, I don't have a lot to give. I couldn't give. Well, that's fine. But did you pray? Can you show up and go to Trader Joe's and spend 2 hours? I'm tired. Those people are tired too. Jaleesa's up here leading praise and worship and was there for 6 hours yesterday. Samuel and Chris, because of the video, 9 a.m. Samuel was at Chris's house. He told me he's going there at 9 a.m. And they were there until 2 a.m. getting this ready. So today at 2 o'clock, we can send it out to somebody. Because we want to show the world that God is an excellent God. We want to do things with all of our heart, with all of our strength. The world does that. Look at Hollywood, man. They're selling their soul for stuff. They got the best equipment. They do things with a level of excellence, and then the church, you know, using stuff from 1980. Don't even know what they're doing. You know, I've been in churches, the microphone's cracking. You got to hold it a certain way because we got no money for microphones. This church, we came in, the speaker, the sub, we came in, the sound system was here. The subs weren't working. We came, we're like, what's going on with the subs? Oh, we don't have budget. It was $150 to fix it. Think about it, we got to change. Come on, God deserves the best. God is able, but we've got to change our thinking. We got to be in it to win it. We got to know when the pressure comes, there's a miracle coming. Come on, we need millions of dollars, tens of millions to do what we're called to do. But guess what? The miracle's in the house. Come on, guess what? God will provide. Come on, if he has to get the ravens to do it, come on, he will provide for us because that's the kind of God we serve. But come on, we got to be a witness. We got to do our part. If we don't have anything to give, pray and pray for seed. God gives seed to the sower. Are you here? Show up, give your time. I don't have a lot of money. Maybe I'm struggling. I'm a student. You can show up and hand out flyers and smile and tell people God loves them. You can pray for somebody. Come on. You can serve. If you're attending this church and you're not serving, you're missing it. Get involved. Be a part of building God's house. Come on in. God will build our house. You believe that? Amen? Come on, let's stand on our feet. Let's lift our hands towards heaven.